Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today we are going to learn Baba Basra Daf Gimel. We are holding on the top line of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph at Lishna Achrina. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Leah Shalom. Also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should return home quickly and safely. Also by Stephen Malcolm Moretzky, in memory of their daughter Aviva Esther, Aleha Shalom, on the occasion of her 25th Yahrzeit, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Also sponsored by David Kesselman, in honor of this Daf Shir and the helpful guidance it gives. And also in honor of, also sponsored in honor of the Yahrzeit of Moshe ben Michal by his grandsons, his Neshama Shav and Aliyah. And finally sponsored in honor of Jay Goldberg, completing his first Daf Yomi cycle. Mazel Tov. Jay's been listening to this year for 7.5 years, and we'd like to thank Hashem for all the blessings he's given his family during that time, and to the rabbi for making the daf accessible, being able to bring Torah learning into our daily lives. Wow, thank you so much, and thank you to all of the sponsors for the sponsorship. So we are learning Baba Basra Daf Gimel today, and on Daf Gimel we're going to first have an alternative version of the discussion that we had yesterday about Hezek Riyah, whether Hezek Riyah Shmei, Hezek Lo Shmei, Hezek, do we have Raya's one way or the other in terms of Hezek Riyah? There's an alternate Lashon that we're going to skip. There's a significant parenthesis that goes about 12 lines in the middle of Amud Aleph where they take out those lines of Gemara. And then the Gemara is going to talk about the description of the different types of bricks that the Mishnah used to describe the different building materials. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the ratio of height to width of a wall in order for it to be secure, and we're going to relate that to a wall that they had in the Beis HaMikdash and try to figure out if it makes sense that it would have been secure given the ratio of height to width. Then the Gemara is going to talk about when the Mishnah gives particular measurements for certain bricks, is that hein b'sidon or hein below sidon? Is that the brick together with the plaster that holds that attaches the brick, the cement that attaches the brick, or is it the brick alone, even without cheshbining in the cement? Once we mention the Bayis Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, which we mentioned in the context of the height to width ratio, the Gemara is going to want to tell us a little bit more about the beauty of the second Beis HaMikdash, but it's going to do that by first introducing us to a halacha in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So, because Beis HaKnesses is Mikdash Ma'atz, that's a nice way to bring us into the dinim of Beis HaMikdash. So let us begin the top line of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Lishna Achrina Amrila. There is another Lashon of the entire sugya that we just learned in yesterday's Daf. That Savrua, that the Bnei Yeshiva initially thought to say, Mayim Mechitza, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that Ashutvin Shrasu Lassus Mechitza, that they wanted and they agreed to make a Mechitza? It means Plukta, it means that they agreed to divide the field. It doesn't mean to build a structure, it just means a division. How do I know that the word mechitza can mean division? The pasuk continues that the division of the spoils of war is described with a lashon of mechitza. So you see that the word mechitza means a division. So kivan deratzu, once they decide that they want to make a division of their property, bonines hakosel, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that they build a wall, bal karchan, that once we're going to divide the property, each one can force the other one to participate in the construction of a wall. Alma Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek. So that seems very clear that Hezek Riyah is indeed Hezek. Otherwise, how would you be allowed to force the other guy to help build a wall? It must be that you're allowed to protect yourself from his Hezek Riyah. So it says Mar Ema, but one might suggest alternatively that my Mechitza Guda. That no, the word Mechitza in the Mishnah doesn't mean a division. It means an actual wall. And the Mishnah is telling me that if two guys decide that they want to build a wall, then they can force each other to build these particular types of walls. Ditanya, how do I know that the word mechitza means an actual wall? Because we have a brisa when it describes a vineyard that's right up against a grain field. That mechitza sakarim shenifritza. If you have a mechitza sakarim, which means an actual wall in a vineyard that separates a vineyard from a field that has grain, and then it gets breached. Omer lo, so the bal hasada says to the bal hakarim, gedor, I want you to rebuild it, and he does, and then Nifritzah gets breached again, Omer lo Gedor, and then again the Baal HaSadeh says to the Baal HaKerem, I want you to rebuild it, Nisyai Shemen Avalo Gadra. If the Baal HaKerem at some point gives up on it and does not rebuild it, HaRezeh Kidesh, so whatever grows, whatever the grain grows, as long as it grows 1/200th of its total growth, it now becomes Asubana. It is now Kilei HaKerem, the Chayiv Bachriyusa, and the Baal HaKerem has to pay for that damage that he's now done to the neighboring field. But bottom line is, we're not so interested right now in the details of the dinim of Kilei HaKerem. What we're more interested in is the taich of the word, that you see the word mechitza means a wall and not just a division. And if you read the Mishnah that way, it's telling me v'taima d'ratzu, that the only reason you could force the other guy to build a wall is because you agreed to build a wall. Halo ratzu ein mechayvin also, but if there was not an initial agreement to build a wall, then you cannot be mechayiv him. Alma has agreed alav shmei hazik. Sounds like hazikri is not hazik because you cannot force him to build a wall. So frankly, if the word mechitza means wall, why would the Mishnah then introduce the word kosel? Right? Meaning, if we already were talking about a wall, and it says, should from shortzalasos mechitza, should from the one to make a wall, proper English would be, then they can build, they build it. You wouldn't say the word wall again. So why does it introduce the word kosel? So more likely that the word mechitza means division. Elamai plukta says, but wait, does the wording fit so well if you say it means a division? If it means a division, you wouldn't say that they want to make a mechitza, you would say sheratzu lachtos, that they want to divide. So it says, nah, that's not a kasha. Sometimes people speak in that way, they say, instead of describing dividing something, they say, we'll make a division. And it means that, it means a division, it doesn't mean a wall. So if it doesn't mean a wall, it means that two people who want to divide the property, one can force the other to build a wall. Why? Because Hezekriya Shmei Hezek. So, in fact, the Gemara, the E Hezekriya Shmei Hezek, if it's Hezekriya counts as Hezek, Ma'ir Yeratza, Filo Ratunami, then why do you need the buy-in of both parties? Even if they, if only one of them wants it, he should be able to force the other guy. Because after all, Hezekriya Shmei Hezek, I should be allowed to force you to protect, to help protect me from Hezekriya. So, Amar Abasi, Amar Yochanan, Shasenu Kashen Badin Chaluka, Vuhu Deratzu. Now, our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's such a tiny piece of property that it would normally would not be considered sizable enough to divide between the two of us, because either each one of us will not get enough of the property to make it worth it. So only if we both agree to divide a property that's so tiny that most people wouldn't want to divide, only then can I then force you to build a wall. So it says, well, my Kamashvelin, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah that it has to tell me about a chatzar she'in badin chaluka? What, the chilespe din chaluka kiratu palki? That if you, if both parties agree to divide a property that is not large enough that they can do so, that's the big chiddush of our Mishnah. Tanina, that's a Mishnah later on in this parak, where we're going to say on Daf Yud Aleph that Emasai, when do we say that in order to divide a property, you have to make sure that each party ends up with four amos of space? That's only b'zman she'en shneim rotzim. That's only if they both don't want to divide. Avo b'zman she'en shneim rotzim, afilu paksim mikan cholkin. But if they're both interested in dividing it, then even if it's less than, even if it's tinier, they could divide it. So what's our Mishnah being mechadesh? Meaning we already have beferish and daf yad aleph that no matter how tiny the property, when they both agree, of course they could divide it. So what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? So it says, no, if I only would have had that Mishnah, I would think that yes, when you have a smaller property and they both agree they could divide it, but then one of them Kataina, I agreed to divide only if we're going to put a little shrubbery between us, but not if we're going to put a real gezunta wall between us. So that's why our Mishnah has to tell us that even a tiny chatzet that doesn't have a din chaluka, if they agree to divide it, so one of them can force the other to put a legitimate wall there. So it says, well, once our Mishnah is talking about legitimate walls, why don't we only have our Mishnah and not the Mishnah of Daf Yud Aleph? Meaning, if you're going to understand that our Mishnah is talking about a chatzer she'ein badin chaluka, and that our Mishnah is teaching me that when you have such a tiny chatzer, if they both agree, then they could divide the chatzer, well then, why do I need the Mishnah? And it's teaching me that once they're dividing it, one guy could force the other guy to build a legitimate wall. Why do I need the later Mishnah that tells me that if they agree to divide a tiny chatzah that they're allowed to do so? So it says, "Where you're right. Sefet Shrichalei. The later Mishnah is not teaching me anything new about dividing a chatzah. The only chiddush in the later Mishnah, the Mishnah we're going to have in Daf Yud Aleph, is about the seifa of that Mishnah, where it goes on to say, V'kisvei HaKodesh Alf Bishishneim Rotzim Lo Yachloku, that they're dividing a sefer Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and that are all written in a single klaf, and they want to divide it, even if they both agree they're not allowed to divide it, because it's a genai to break up a sefer. So because of that din, the Mishnah tells us about other things and chalukah. But really, there's no chiddush about the chalukah of chatzah. The whole chiddush is about the chalukah of the sefer Tanakh. So as I mentioned before, we're going to skip the parentheses, which takes us down another 12 lines. So that's an easy way to cover ground in Daf Yomi. And says Gemara, "B'mayu kimtul masnisin." What is the case where we established our Mishnah to be talking about b'shein b'din chalukah? Right? We just said our Mishnah is talking about a chatzah that's so tiny that it does not have a din chalukah. Ibei shein b'din chalukah kiratzu mayhavi nahadribu. Well, wait a second. If it's so tiny and it doesn't have a din chalukah, why does it matter that they had agreed to divide it? They could always back out of that agreement, meaning just because I said that I agree, that there's nothing that binds me to that unless you make some sort of kinyan. So how does the conversation go? We have this teeny tiny property. So Reuven says, Shimon, hey, you want to divide the property? And Shimon says, yeah, that's a great idea. Reuven says, aha, now you got to build a wall that conforms to Minhag HaMedina about how thick a wall has to be. And Shimon says, okay, I changed my mind. I don't want to divide the property. And now you can't force me to do that either because it's Ein Badin Chalukah. Right, what's going to force Shimon to follow through on that? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Shekonu Miyadan. Now he made a kinyan. If he made a kinyan on his hischaivos, so that's that makes it a binding hischaivos. How do you make a kinyan on the hischaivos? Normally you make a kinyan hadba, kinyan mashicha. You take something over here. It's a kinyan on a commitment. So I was just masada kiddushin at a chasana last night. So we do this all the time. We do this at the tanayim. We do this at the ksuba. Right? We take a pen and we say, you're committing to bring your son to the chuppah. The Tanaim that we have nowadays doesn't really say anything. It just says that you're going to bring your son to the chuppah, your daughter to the chuppah, and each of the fathers makes a kinyan that they're in fact going to do that. So it's a kinyan on a hischaivus. We have that when you make a rabbi, a shliach, to sell chametz, that they do a kinyan, that you make a kinyan to show that you are that you're serious about your verbal instructions. So if you're also, you make a kinyan, shekonu miyado, v'chikonu miyado may havid to kinyan dvar miyalmahu. But how does that kinyan work? It's only a kinyan dvarim, meaning it's a kinyan of words. It's a kinyan on an agreement. And since a kinyan can only be chal on a davar sheyesh bo mamish, on something that has substance to it, how does such a kinyan work? So it says, marbi shekonu miyado beruchos. Now each one chooses a certain side of the chatzer, and he's makne his chelek in the other side of the chatzer to the other party. So it's an actual kinyan on a thing. It's not just a kinyan on an idea or on a commitment. Rav Ashi says, or that each one actually makes a kinyan chazaka. That it's not just they do a kinyan chalipin and they say, I hereby commit. No, they actually made a kinyan on their side of the chatzer that they're going to, and how are you kona karka with kesef shtar chazaka? So they did a chazaka. They were no gadar paratz. They did something on their side of the chatzer to actually be kona. Tosos and Dibra Maskel Rav raises the question that what's this second answer really being mechadesh? Meaning the point is that they have to have made a kinyan on a thing, and making a kinyan on an idea is not enough. So we already had an answer that they were kona beruchos, that I was makna to you. So what's this second answer coming to add? What, that kinyan chazaka is a thing and that it works by karka? That's an obvious thing. We know that kinyan chazaka works by karka. So Tosa says that when a person is kona karka bechazaka and the mocher is not physically present at the time that you make that kinyan, then the mocher has to have said lechazeku kni in order for the kinyan to be chal. And if the mocher never told you lechazeku kni, you cannot be kona. So the chiddush of Rav Ashi is that even though he never used those magic words lechazeku kni, but since the conversation started with him saying, do you want to divide the chatzer? Yes, I want to. Oh good, me too. That's the same as lechazeku kni. That if they then subsequently go and do a kinyan chazaka, that kinyan chazaka is going to work, even shalo bifnei hamocher. The Ramban doesn't like that explanation. He says Rav Ashi must have not heard Rabbi Yochanan's teretz, and therefore he gave another teretz, another type of kinyan, the kinyan chazaka. But ein achinami, it's no different than Rabbi Yochanan's teretz, because it doesn't matter whether the kinyan is a kinyan chazaka or a kinyan chalipin, whatever kinyan it is, as long as it's on something of substance, it's going to be a valid kinyan. So that's the Ramban's mahalich, different from Tosis's mahalich. Okay, so now the Gemara goes on. Makom shnagu livnos. We said if the minig in the place is to build the mechitza out of gevil and gazis and all these different materials. So what are these different materials? Gevil, avni de la mashafia. Gevil are stones that are not smoothed out. They remain in their raw state where they are blitos. There are things that stick out of them. Gazis, avni de mashafia. Gazis is a stone that's been chiseled to be smooth. Dechsev kaleila avanim yukaros bemidos gazis. When it describes the avanim that Shlomo HaMelech used in building the Beis HaMikdash and in building his own house, he had two simultaneous construction projects going on of his own home and of the Beis HaMikdash. So it describes how they chisel down the stones to a certain measurement. Kfis, and they use the term gazis. So you see gazis are the chiseled down stone. Kfisin archi. Kfisin are half bricks. The width of a brick is 3 tvachim. Someone who builds a wall out of kfisin breaks each brick into 2 halves, and he puts 1 half on one side, 1 half on the other side, and a tefach of cement in between them. So therefore, it widens the brick. By breaking the brick in half, ironically, it widens the brick by 1 tefach, because now you're using all the material of the brick, both halves, and you add a tefach of cement in between. So if you have a full brick, the full brick is 3 tvachim. 2 half bricks connected by cement is 4 tvachim. Levenin and Livni. Levenim are full bricks, and therefore it's 3 tvachim. So I'm laying Rabbi Brady, Rabbi Ravashi. Me might the Gvil Avni Dol Meshafinin. How do you know that Gvil means stones that are not smoothed out? By tefach Yisera Lemorsha Dekarnasa. And the extra tefach that they take up is from the protrusions from the raw stone. Dilma Palga Degazasu. By tefach Yisera Levenin. Maybe it's a gvil really means half of a gazis stone, and just like by the bricks we had the conversation where the half is 1 tefach bigger because of the cement, maybe you have the same thing with the stones, and that's what gvil is. It's a tefach bigger, not because it's raw, but because it's cut in half and they put cement in between. Kidakamrina, just like we said that kfisin archi leveni livni vay tefach yisera leveni orvi, just like we say by the bricks. Samalei, so Ravashi said back v'litaymech, according to your shita that the Gemara is explaining on its own what Gvil and what Gazis is. I mean, you apparently think the Gemara is just guessing as to what Gvil and what Gazis is, and therefore you're asking, why do you say this? You should have said that maybe there's another interpretation. Well, Kfisin Archi Minalan, how do you know that Kfisin means half bricks? Well, I mean, if everything is just a guess, Ella, none of this is a guess. Gemara Gemirila, this is a Kabbalah that they had. This is a tradition that they had. So Gvil Nami, Avdil Mashavi, Gemara Gemirila, the idea that Gvil is a raw stone is also Gemara Gemirila. Gemara Gemirila doesn't always mean Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. It means that Hilchsa Gemirila is almost always Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Gemara Gemirila means that it's an ancient tradition, and this is something that they had in the Torah Shebaal Peh, and it's not something that was figured out through logical reasoning. Ikadamri, others say that the kasha was different. How do you know that the bricks are a description of a full brick and a half brick with a tefach of cement in between? Dilma, my kfisin livni dilo mashafian. Maybe kfisin are bigger than full bricks because they're raw bricks that have not been smoothed out. And maybe the difference in width between the two types of bricks, it could be accounted for the same way the difference in width of the two types of stones could be accounted for. That is the protrusions of the raw bricks. So just like we have by the stones, the karnison by the stones, it's the protrusions that add the extra tefach. That's the Gemara. How do you know that by the stones it means that it's a raw stone and that's why it's a tefach bigger? You wouldn't know that through logic. So two versions of which part the Gemara was questioning, but it comes to the same conclusion anyway, that the definition of all these terms and the reason we know that the discrepancy of the tefach in the stones can be accounted accounted for by the protrusions of the stone, whereas the discrepancy of a tefach and the bricks is accounted for by a tefach of cement, it's all Gemara Gemirila, it's all the tradition that that we had. Good, so now says Gemara, Amar Rabbi, Shema mina kol beni urvi tefach. What you see over here, though, is that whenever they add some cement to connect two bricks together, it's always a tefach. So hani mili betina, that's only when they put cement in between the two bricks. Aval berichsa, but when they put small pebbles together with cement, bayitfei, so then you don't have as much glue, so to speak, holding it together. So then you need a little more in order to hold it together. V'ikadarmi, others say no. When we say a tefach hani mili berichsa, that's if there are small pebbles mixed in with the cement. Aval betina lo bayikulehai, but if it was pure cement, you wouldn't need a tefach of cement to hold them together. So bottom line is that there's a difference between types of cement. There are cements that are stronger and cements that are weaker, and two different deos in the Gemara as to which type of cement our Mishnah assumes you need a tefach of. Either the stronger cement and a weaker cement would need more than a tefach, or it's talking about the weaker cement and the stronger cement would need less than a tefach. So ask the Gemara, Lemeimra de Gazis kol arba amos gova yihav yupus chamisha koi v'ilo lo koi. Does the Mishnah mean to tell me that if you're going to build a wall out of gazes, that any 4 amos of height needs a width of 5 tefachim at its base in order to be a solid wall? And if you don't have 5 tefachim at its base, it's not going to be solid enough to stand. Well, according to that cheshbon, if you were to have an 8 amah high wall, you would need a 10 tefach wide base. But wait a second, in the wall that they had in the Mikdash Rishon that divided between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was built out of gazes stone. That's its beferish in Sefer Melachim Aleph. It was built out of gazes, Tavai Gvot, Tzvasanam Hasa, and it was 30 amos tall, Velav Posiel Shis Pushki, and it was only 6 tefachim wide. It was only 1 amal wide, Vikam, and somehow managed to stand and it didn't fall. According to our Cheshbin, it should have been, 37 and a half tefachim wide, or something like that, if the math is correct, right? Because if for every 4 amos of height, you need 5 tefachim of width. So if you had 30 amos of height, so you should have needed a lot more, a lot more width, not just 6 tefachim. So says Gemara, to a couple of answers. Answer number one, kivin dika tefach yisera ka'i. No, that it doesn't work proportionally, meaning sometimes just a little more width can support a lot more height. So that one extra tefach of width from 5 tefachim to 6 tefachim can support 26 more amos of height. It's a little hard to imagine that it may be that it doesn't work proportionally, but so disproportionate. But that's what the Gemara says. So ask the Gemara, but Mikdash Sheni, my time, love an amatraxin. In the second base of Mikdash, why didn't they make an amatraxin? In the second base of Mikdash, they had 2 parochos that separated between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's why the Kohen Gadol would walk in between when he'd walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what Rav Shachter once commented to me that Rav Moshe has a tshuva where someone asked Rav Moshe about using a split parochas in a shul where there's a picture on the parochas or wording on the parochas, and then when you open the parochas and then the Aron Kodesh, it splits into 2. So that's a problem of kosev and mochek, to open and close the parochas of the Aron. So Rav Moshe discusses, and then he says, but anyway, it's not the tradition to have a split parochas. That our Masara is, you have 1 parochas, you have a single parochas. That's not the tradition. So Rav Shachter thought that sounded a little bit funny because the parochas in the Beis HaMikdash was 2 parochas. In Mikdash Sheni, in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was no parochas. In Mikdash Sheni, there was parochas, and it was 2. It was 2 units. But anyway, so Kikai B'tlas, so the Gemara asks, how come in the second Beis HaMikdash they didn't build a wall out of gazes? So it says Gemara, no, Kikai B'tlas and Kai Tfei Lo Kai. Because if it's only 6 tefachim wide, it's only going to be able to stand 30 amos high. But since Bayis Sheni was taller than 30 amos, so they couldn't build a wall, it would not have been sturdy enough. How do you know that Mikdash Sheni was taller than Mikdash Rishon? Because the pasuk in Chagai says that God, right? Chagai is not a very long book, but it's a book worthwhile reading. Gadol Yia Kvoda Bayis Hazeh Achron Min Arishon, that the kvod of the second bayis is greater than the first one. So Rav Shmuel Varmila Rav Yochanan Rav Lazar Chadam or Bebinyan. One of them says, in what way way was the second bias gadol from the first one. So it means that it was taller than the first one. Bibinyan, the chadam, and the other one says, no, gadol means bashanim, that it lasted more years than the first one. The first one only lasted 410 years, and the second bias lasted 420 years. Ben Yoyada explains that the Amoraim are arguing, and neither one could hold both reasons, because if gadol means bibinyan, I mean, it can't just mean that the word gadol means both, that it was both taller and longer lasting. No, there's dafka a machlokas over here, because if gadol means bibinyan, that it was actually taller, then the mashmaus of the pasuk is a tzivui, that he's commanding them, right? Chagai is describing coming back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, that he's commanding them to build a larger building. But if it means a number of years, then it's not a tzivui, it's a besura, it's a nevua of what's going to be, that it's going to, so it would change the whole tone of the pasuk, that it's not telling them what to do, it's telling them what will be, that this is actually going to be a more lasting project, building than the first Beis HaMikdash. V'isa laha, so says Gemara, both of them happen to be true, it did last more years, and it was taller, but the pasuk doesn't mean both things, both of those things happen to be true. So bottom line is, the second Beis HaMikdash was in fact taller than the first Beis HaMikdash, and that's why they couldn't have a wall separating the Heich from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because it would not have been a sturdy enough wall to be able to stand. So it says, well, okay, but why didn't they do this? If 6 tefachim wide is wide enough to handle a 30 amma tall wall, why didn't they do 6 tefachim wide, 30 ammas of wall, and then the top 10 ammas they could hang a curtain to fill in the blank? So it says, Gemara says, remember that question, how strange it sounded before when we said by adding one more tefach of width, all of a sudden you could add 26 more amos of height? The Gemara says, of course that doesn't work. The only reason that works is because there's a roof resting on the top of that wall. That's what keeps that wall in place. But if you were to just build a 30 amma wall that doesn't have a roof resting on it, holding it in place, there's no way it's going to stand, even with 6 tefachim of width. So you couldn't do a 30 amma wall and then do the rest curtain. So it says Gemara, okay, but why not? Okay, you couldn't do 30 amos of wall. Probably you could have done 10 amos of wall. So why not do 10 amos of wall and have 30 amos of paroches hangings? Amar Abaye, Gemiri, ikulu bebinyan, ikulu beparoches. Ikulu bebinyan mi mikdash, ikulu beparoches mi mishkan. That they must have had a tradition that they shouldn't mix and match, meaning that they have an option. There's two ways to separate the Eichel from Kodesh HaKadoshim, either through binyan or through paroches, and that you shouldn't have both of them, probably because it's not kavadik, it's not sightly to have two different materials separating. So you have one thing, you pick your style of what it's going to be. So then now we don't need that kikai, the answer that we gave before, that kikai tosna masa is agav tikra maziva, right? That's what Tosis points out, that you don't need the other answer that we gave, that the wall is only able to stand because of the weight of the ceiling, because there's nothing to do with that. Once Abaye gives this answer, that they had a tradition that it had to be kulu bebinyan or kulu beparoches. So says Gemara, ibayilu. When we described the size of these bricks, we said that a gvil is 6 tvachim and a gazis is 5 tvachim. So is that hein v'sidon? Is that the stones together with the sid the sid is not the cement like we were describing before that holds the two half bricks together. Sid over here is the waterproofing that they would do on the outside of the wall. They would smear plaster on the outside of the wall to protect it from the elements so that the wall wouldn't get ruined. So when we describe these widths, is it after it's treated with it's waterproofing, or is that before it's treated with the waterproofing? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mistavra Hein V'Sidon. It must be with the waterproofing. Listen to the Shiurei, because if it's Hein Below Sidon, why not tell me the actual size, bottom line? Meaning you're going to tell a guy, oh yeah, I need you to give 2.5 tefachim of your chatzar, and then in the end of the day, he ended up giving 3 tefachim of his chatzar. Why don't you tell me? I would have planned for that. that. You got to be practical. Give him the bottom line of how much he's actually going to have to give up. So it's more mistaver that we're talking about the total, the grand total of how much space it's really going to take up. So it says, no, maybe it's really ain below sidon. Why doesn't it mention then the space that the sid takes up? Because it's so minuscule, it's less than a tefach, it's not even worth mentioning. What do you mean less than a tefach is not worth mentioning? We said that when each person is contributing for half the space that a three tefach brick is going to take up, that each one contributes a tefach and a half. I thought we don't talk in half measures. So says Marvel Hasam Chazilas Rufe, by the half tefach that each one is giving, so it's mitzdarif to a whole tefach. So that's why I mentioned, because each one is giving a half a tefach. But just dumb to mention something that in total is less than a tefach, that we wouldn't mention. So Tashma says, well, let's try to be poshet to suffik from another Mishnah, a Mishnah in Meseches Erevin. Hakorah Sha'amru, when the Chum say that you have to put a korah over a mavoi in order to be able to carry in a mavoi. So there's a beam that goes over the entrance of the mavoi, and that serves as either a mechitza or a heker that you're not going to carry outside of the mavoi on Shabbos. So Rechavik de l'kabla riach, that it's got to be wide enough that you could put an ariach brick on it and it could hold it. For ariach chatzil vena shoshu tefachim, and an ariach is half of a three tefach brick. So you see that the width of a levena itself of a full brick is three tefachim. So the time of our Mishnah, when it talks about a kosel of levenim, that it's three tefachim, was talking about without the sid, because when it's describing a korah, it's obviously describing a korah that's big enough to hold a brick, not a brick that's plastered, because we're not talking about actually doing something practical. We're just describing a width. So obviously you see that it's three tefachim without the sid. So it says Mar Hasam Berav Ravasa. Now, maybe in the Mishnah Nerevin we're talking about overly large bricks, but in our Mishnah we're talking about regular size bricks. So maybe regular size bricks are just under three tefachim, and it's only when you waterproof them that they become three tefachim. And the Mishnah of Erevin is talking about very, very large bricks, where they're already three tefachim even before they're treated and waterproofed. Dekanami, and it's Meduyok that we're talking about large bricks over there, Dekatani, Shel Shlosh Tfachim, Mechal Dika Zutra. Because the Mishnah in Erevin doesn't just say that big enough to put a brick, it says big enough to put a brick, Shel Shlosh Tfachim. That sounds like it's a chiddish, that it's an unusual brick. So Shmamina, so you see that that's a big brick, and smaller bricks are under three Tfachim. Okay, so now we move on to the discussion of the Beis HaMikdash. Once we mentioned that the covenant of Bayis HaSheni was greater than the Bayis HaRishon, and we meant that in two ways, that it lasted longer and that it was taller, from the pasuk in Chagai. Right, I think I mentioned recently that Rabbi Reisman once said that you're going to go up after 120 years and you're going to meet Chagai, and Chagai is going to say to you, "Hey, did you read my book?" And you're going to say, "No, I just didn't have time. I was so busy." And he'll say, "The whole book is 38 sentences. How did you not have time to read 38 sentences? So it's kedai to read Chagai. I know I mentioned this story recently because I got an email from someone that said, "Mission accomplished. I went and I read Chagai." So you make a suggestion. You never know when someone is going to take the 20 minutes that it takes to read Chagai. It's a worthwhile investment of some time. So anyway, once we mentioned the covenant base Bayis HaSheni, so we're going to talk about Beis HaMikdash, but out of that, we're going to start the discussion with the din of Beis HaKnesses. So I'm Rav Chisda Lelisternish Beikinishta Adabani Beikinishta Achriti. Right, one of the most commonly violated halachos that you're not allowed to destroy the existing Beis HaKnesses until you build the new Beis HaKnesses. So most of the time, they're building the new Beis HaKnesses where the old one stood. So they, of course, they're destroying the first one. So Igeda Amri Mishum Pshiusav, Igeda Amri Mishum Tzluye. But there are two deals as to why you can't do that. One is because we're afraid that something's going to happen and you're never going to end up building the new one, so you'll just be left with an empty plot of land. And some say it's because you need a place to daven. And if you destroy the old shul, there's going to be nowhere to daven. So my binai, what's the nafkamina between those two opinions? If you have some other place to daven, so according to the second reason, you're allowed to destroy the first one because you have another place to daven. But according to the first reason, that we're afraid that this plot of land is going to remain empty and you're going to be poshea and you're not going to build a new shul there, so then that concern still still exists, even if you happen to have another place to daven. The Mishmaros Kuhuna raises the question why the Gemara doesn't bring another nafkamina that the Melech is interested in building, and then you don't have to worry about Pshia, because all the, you know, what delays the building is lack of money or lack of permits and whatever. So the Melech is in charge of all the money and all the permits. So there's nothing to delay anything if the Melech is going to be there. The Gemara is going to say that later on. So, but you would still have to be choshesh that you need a place to daven in the meantime. So that would have been enough coming in the other direction. So the Mishmar Oskuna, he says that even the reason the one who holds that is Mishum Pshiusa is Moda, that you also have to be concerned of about where to daven. He's just being Mosif, another reason of Pshiusa. And Memela, even if a Melech was the one that wanted to build, you would not be able to destroy. Alternatively, he suggests that the Gemara brings enough Gamina that's a Chumrah according to the one that holds Pshiusa, because we paskin like the one that holds Pshiusa and not like the one that holds Duchta Lutzluye. So anyway, so says Gemara, Marei Marzutra had a shul that they used during the summertime that had a lot of windows. It was very airy. This is before they had air conditioning, so you needed to have cross ventilation and, you know, make sure that it provided shade, but had a lot of windows. And they had another shul during the wintertime that had a lower ceiling and was able to maintain the heat and had very few windows, and it was able to maintain whatever small fire they were able to make there to keep it warm. So Sashi Ubana Bekaita Besitva, Besashi Ubana Bekitva Besaita. So Besitva Bekaita. They would knock down the winter shul to build the summer shul, and the summer shul to build the winter shul. I guess it was on the same plot of land, so they had to keep knocking it down to rebuild the replacements. So I'm like Ravina Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, what if they already collected the money to build the new shul and the Gabbai counts the money? So what's the din? Are you now allowed to knock down the old shul? Or do you say, even if all the money's already in the bank, you're not allowed to do it? So you still can't do it because you don't know that you'll be allowed to use that money, because Pidyon Shvuyim might come up and then you're going to have to use all of that money for Pidyon Shvuyim, and then you'll weiter, be posheya in being able to build the shul. So Ravina asked Ravashi, what about Shriki Livni? The building materials are already there. The bricks are already layered one on top of the other, and they're ready to be put into the binyan. V'hadri hudri, and that which the roof will lean on is already there and ready to go. Umachtik shuri, and the beams are already and all delivered. Mai. So in such a case, are you then allowed to destroy the first shul? You already took delivery of all of the new building materials. There's nothing that needs to be done other than the actual physical act of building. So Amalei Ravashi said to Ravina, even then it's aser. Because Pidin Shvim could come up and you're going to have to sell all of those building materials and use that for Pidin Shvim, and then you're not going to have anything. So says, well then, if that's the case, then even if you already built the Beis HaKnesses, it should be aser, because you might have to sell the Beis HaKnesses that you just built for Pidin Shvim. So Amalei, dear Siti Inshi Lo Mezabni. No, people don't sell the place where they live. So for sure they're not going to sell the basic knesses where it's already where the binyan has already been completed. So it's a key line. That Dirsa Din Shila Mazabni means that a person is not expected to sell a place that they live. Over here in Camp Kaylee, we're learning Hilchas Tzedakah this summer. So one of the things that all the poskim say is that if it's a pikuach nefesh case, someone has comes to your door and they're going to die. They need a medicine, they need a surgery, whatever. So then all the dinim of Amavazi Zali Vazi Zos Micham, which don't give above a certain amount, all that goes out the window. You have to give everything. So as the kasha is, I own a house in North Woodmere. Apparently, that's worth a lot of money these days. So maybe I have to sell that in order to be able to. No, dear Siddin Shilog Mazabni. A person is not expected to sell his house in order to provide somebody else. V'lo Amran Eldol Chazi Beit Yuha. But that's only that the idea that it's usher to destroy an existing Beis HaKnesses before you build a new one is only if there's no cracks in the old one. So it's not a flawed building. Aval chazibat tiyua, but if you see that it's already falling to pieces, sasri yubani, then you do knock it down and build a new one. Kiyod Ravashi chazibat tiyua b'knishta de Masa Mechasya. Ravashi saw a crack in the basic knesses of the city of Masa Mechasya, so sasri, he destroyed that basic knesses via lupuri lahasam, and then he brought his bed into the area so that people will have rachmanas on him, that he shouldn't be sleeping in an open field. V'lo afkei ad masakan le the shvichi, and he wouldn't take his bed out until they finished the entire construction project, until they put up the last gutter on the building, meaning he was trying to motivate them to continue with the building project. So how did he do that? By bringing his bed there and said, I'm not leaving until this construction project is finished. So based on the halachas we have until now, the Gemara says, okay, now let's describe the what happened with the building of Bayis Sheni. Ubaba ben Buta hechi asvile eitzel hordus lemistrei lebeis hamikdash. How is Baba ben Buta allowed to advise Hordus to destroy the current the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Sheni, before rebuilding it and making it and revamping it and making it a nicer Bayis? Didn't we learn that you're not allowed to destroy one Beis HaMikdash in order to build another Beis HaMikdash? So one could argue that Ben Yoyada raises the question. There's a big difference. In Beis HaMikdash, you don't have another option of where to build. Meaning, when it comes to Beis HaKnesses, we say, don't destroy this one, buy another property, build something there, move into that one, and then you could destroy this one and build this one. You can't move the Beis HaMikdash. There's only one spot that you could put the Beis HaMikdash. So that's Ben Yoyada's kasha. He deals with it. But anyway, the Gemara asks, so Bab Ben Buta, how did he give such an Eitzah? So says Gemara, Ibai Yisei Mitiyu Chazbei, it could be that he saw that there were cracks in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore this halacha doesn't apply. You're allowed to destroy the first shul if there are cracks in it. Ibai Yisei Malchus HaShayni, or it could be that a melech is allowed to do that, to lo hadrabe, because you could be confident that a melech is not going to back out and be poshea. Damar Shmuel, Yamar Malchusa, Akarnaturi, Akarturi. If a king says that I will uproot mountains, he will uproot mountains, lo hadrabe, and he will not back out of such a promise. So since Hordus said he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have to worry that he's going to be poshea and that he's not going to actually follow through and actually build the Beis HaMikdash. So once we mention that Hordus built the Beis HaMikdash, renovated the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara is going to fill us in on the whole Maisa of how that came to be, that Hordus that Hordus built the Beis HaMikdash. But maybe we'll save that Maisa for tomorrow, because that will take us well into tomorrow's daf. It's a long daf tomorrow also. Okay, we'll figure it out. Okay, so that's actually going to be Shabbos' daf. All right, I get 5 extra minutes on Shabbos. So we'll, okay, have a great day, everyone. Have a wonderful evening.